It's nice to be here. I often book myself out preaching on bank holiday because I know it's never going to be nice weather. I guarantee the weather will be awful, and I guarantee when you go anywhere, there'll be an awful lot of people there, so I just go preaching. And it's a good thing to do, really. And I also noticed, since you put the air conditioning in, we've never had any hot days either. It's dreadful, isn't it? It's like when they put those great big windmills in Burton Latimer. You know, those. We've had more wind, haven't we? Because someone pushes a button, don't they? And makes it all blow. Right, we come to the Lord. There's no notices I'm aware of. And we come to meet with the Lord this morning. I'm just going to read a few verses from the book of Isaiah. And then when I've done that, we're going to sing, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." We're going to sing that because afterwards we're going to confess that we haven't kept our promises. Okay? That's what we're going to do. So Isaiah says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. He gives strength to those who are weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even young men and young women, they grow tired. They stumble, they fall, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." These are promises that God gives to us. As we stumble through a week, he promises to lift us and carry us and bless us and lead us. So we stand to sing, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." So let's pray. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you this morning that you are our God, that you have kept your promises to us over the years, that you are faithful, that you do not turn away from us, even when we turn away from you. We thank you for your love that is constant, just as the sun rises and sets at a set time each day, just as the moon also goes around in its orbit, so, Lord, your love is faithful to us. And we thank you that we can depend on you, day by day, night by night. And yet, Lord, we come this morning and many of us have sung that hymn at baptisms, we've come to rallies and we've had services where we've committed ourselves or recommitted ourselves to you. And we come this morning and recognise, Lord, that we haven't always kept our promises. We want to serve you to the end. We want to be faithful. We want to be good servants of Jesus Christ. We want to display your love and share your grace with others. But it doesn't happen sometimes. Sometimes we're looking at our watch so when the sermon's finished we can get out and get back to what we want to do. Lord, we pray this morning that you'd be amongst us. That you would forgive us our many sins. That as we just sit here and think of the times we've disappointed you, the times we've let you down, the things we've said and the things we've done for which we're now sorry and we regret doing. Lord, we know as we think about these things and confess these things in our hearts that you do forgive us our sins and you do cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as King David prayed, Lord, we too would pray that you would restore us and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Strengthen us, Lord, that we might be your disciples. Keep us from temptation. May the tempting sights and sounds of this world not attract us. May we turn our eyes on Jesus and see fully his wonderful face. So, Lord, bless us, we pray. Speak to us through this service. May each opportunity in this service be a chance for us to draw closer to you, because we do indeed ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again? You are the King of Glory. I thought we'd do a big one first and a little one next. So we're going to do You Are the King of Glory, but twice. Twice. Yes. I'm just going to make a little confession to you. Since COVID, I sometimes watch services on television. I sometimes watch services and I sometimes fast forward them. Is that okay? The trouble is, I went to a church a couple of weeks ago and the preacher went on and on and on. And I thought to myself, if I was at home, I'd fast forward this bit. But Lord, about to. But you can't do it, can you, when you're here? You can't fast forward it. Get on with it, you say to yourself as the vicar carries on and on and on. And I'll tell you something else I do, and it's a bit naughty, really. We had our wedding anniversary a few weeks ago, and it was a Sunday. And I always believe in going to church first and then going somewhere else. But on this occasion, I thought, you know, let's just go out for the wedding anniversary. So we drove to Histon, we had breakfast in Histon, we got in the car, and then my wife got online to the church we usually go to, and we listened to the service as we drove to Felixstowe. Now, when you go past Stone Market, if ever you do this, you have to hold your phone up in the top of the car because there's not much of a signal. And as long as you don't shut your eyes when the prayers take place, okay, you don't shut your eyes when you pray, you can drive to Felixstowe. When the vicar sits down and says Amen, you're at the beach. It's you just park in that road up the back end of Felixstowe and you put your shoes on while he's just saying the grace. And you're done. And you're straight there. So it's a bit different when you retire, Nick. But you can still go to church. And you can walk down the beach and you can think about all that's been said. And it's good. But you know, Pentecost, you celebrated Pentecost last Sunday, no doubt. And you celebrated how Peter asked us to repent of our sins. Well, we've done that this morning. To believe in the gospel, where we're doing that every day, and hopefully we strengthen our belief as we live our lives. To be baptised, and I hope you've been baptised, to witness to your faith. And if you haven't been baptised, I hope you will consider that means of witnessing to the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. And then the disciples were told to go and to wait. And that's the worst bit, isn't it? You can't fast forward your life, can you? You can't fast forward every day. You've got to wait on the Lord. You've got to do things at his speed. And I get impatient. You know, I get impatient in this queue in the chip shop. I've told you that before, haven't I? If it's a big queue, I have beans on toast. Because I'm not prepared to wait. What's the point of standing in the queue and hearing everyone's dogs being sick and all this sort of thing? I can't cope. And especially in the chip shop I go to, you have to wait outside. And if it's raining, beans on toast are a better option. That's my view. So the chance of me waiting for God is limited sometimes. But let me just tell you something. When my daughter, it's always a worrying time when your kids get to 17, isn't it? Because when they get to 17, they want to drive the car, don't they? And there's nothing more scary in life than your kids driving the car. They can do a lot of things, but it doesn't involve you, does it? But when they're driving your car, it's like sacrilege, really, isn't it? So my daughter said to me, it's a bit worrying, really. She sits in the passenger seat. I'm 17 soon, Dad. How do you know when to change gear? Now, that's a reasonable question to ask. It's a worrying question, but it's a reasonable question. And I said, Alison, when you change gear, you do it because the engine tells you, okay? The engine will tell you when to change gear. And she said, Dad, you're stupid. It's surprising how clever Dad becomes within a year. Because when she sits in the driving seat, she's a good driver, actually. When she sits in the driving seat, she knows, she listens to the engine, and she does what it tells her. She does. I've just done the same. When you come down the Rothwell Hill into Desborough, you've got to deal with the gears, haven't you? Because you come up to that hill, and you've got to do 30 miles an hour by the time you get over the hill in case there's a police car there, don't you? You're okay to get to the top. But once you get over, you've got to be down to 30. Because one speed awareness course is enough for me, to be honest. 4 hours. So, Alison now listens to the engine. Now, I want to just suggest to you this morning, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're not a proper Christian, if you like, if you're becoming a Christian and you haven't been filled with God's Spirit, then you'll be like Alison. You'll say, Dad, you're stupid. Because God doesn't speak, and he doesn't shout out loud. But you've got to listen to God. You've got to, like you've got to come in sort of oneness with your cut. If you don't put yourself in the right gear, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to stall it, and you're going to cause a lot of hassle behind you. You know what people are like these days. But if you listen to the engine, if you change the gear at the right time, you will be able to go the direction that you need to go. And this morning, I want to suggest to us all that we be more patient for God. We wait for him, allow him to do his things in his time. But also that we listen to him. And we do what he tells us. It's not an easy call sometimes. And sometimes you have to say no to those around you. Sometimes you have to just plough your own furrow and recognise. But God does speak. And God is speaking. And our job is to be quiet enough and patient enough to hear him. It's very different when you're in a car, when you're the driver, than when you're a passenger. It's very different when you're living the Christian life and not just watching others do it. So may God help us be the people who respond to him and to listen to him and wait on the Lord. As we started to have the service, wait on the Lord and we will not faint and we will not fail and we will not fall. May God bless us as we seek to live out our Christian lives. Are you going away now, Nick? I'm going to kick Nick out now. You won't need to fast forward now, Nick. I can carry on now. Right. We're going to pray for others. We're going to think about other people this morning. There's no particular name or person we've got to pray for here, but we do need to bring our prayers. The Bible says, cast your cares on him, and he will care for you. You've seen that passage. You've seen it on calendars in Christians' kitchens. But God does indeed do that. He asks us to cast our cares on him. So we're going to give our cares to God so that we haven't got to carry them ourselves or just ourselves. So let's pray. Let's pray for others. Father God, we do think about other people this morning. Often we think about ourselves, and we like talking about ourselves and thinking about ourselves, but Lord, we want to think of others. We want to bring other people and give them into your hands. We want to see them blessed, healed, helped, and most of all, Lord, we want our brothers and sisters to become Christians, people who also trust in you and love you. So we do firstly, Lord, pray for this church, for its life, its work, its witness. We pray for Nick and for all those who lead and work in this church, that they might receive your strength and your wisdom and your guidance. We pray for the preaching of the gospel, and we ask, Lord, that your word will be effective in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, move amongst us, we pray, as your people, to bless and to strengthen and to guide us. We pray, Lord, for the town in which we live. We pray for so many situations in which this church is connected to. Think of a town council. We think of the responsibilities that people have over us in this town. And we pray for the friends and neighbours and people of Desborough this morning. Grant them a blessing, Lord. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, Lord, bless them, we pray. We pray, Lord, too, for the world in which we live. We think of the difficulties and the dangers that we're very much aware of. We turn our televisions on and the news is full of sadness and sorrow, of war and fighting, of hatred. Lord, we do pray for your presence and your peace in so many situations. We think of those nations that seek to stir up others to conflict. And we pray that in the Middle East, that in Ukraine and Russia, that in the Sudan, Lord, that in these places you will bring your peace, that you will somehow settle things. We pray for our own nation as we go through the elections. Lord, it's a difficult 6 weeks as we go through election times, but Lord, we do pray for those who will be elected. We pray the right people will have the jobs in all 650 seats. And we pray, Lord, that whoever is Prime Minister will lead with wisdom and integrity and justice and fairness. We commend to you, Lord, those who work as missionaries in different parts of the world. We think of those who seek to give themselves to your work. We think of that missionary couple who were murdered yesterday in Haiti. Gone out to serve you in there, just married and went out to serve you as good Christians in that place, and yet they were murdered by a Yobs who came in, broke into the compound and just killed them there and then. Lord, we pray a blessing on them and their families. Lord, bring your peace to situations of conflict and terror. And then finally, Lord, we do pray for those we know who are sick and in need of help and healing. Bless our friends, our neighbours. Bless those who find life a struggle at this time. Be with those in hospital or awaiting treatment. And grant your blessing on all that who we love. Be amongst us, Lord, as your people. And increase your kingdom and bring your peace. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear also the quiet and silent prayers of our hearts because we ask them in the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So we're going to sing Jesus is the Name We Honour. Now, I presume you're doing a series in John, is that correct? Well, I'm preaching on John 14, because that's what Nick asked me to preach on, so we'll see. And we're doing it. It's correct. Right. He asked me to do this at Christmas, and I wrote the sermon some time ago, but I decided to throw it away and write it again, because things change, don't they? Things change. Right, first six verses of John chapter 14. Lovely verses. All of John's Gospel. You know, you do worse than going home and reading John's Gospel this afternoon because it's a great Gospel. It really is. Jesus said this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going." But Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus turned to him and said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We thank God for his word. Let's just pray. Lord, we've heard your word, and we read passages like this often. Our prayer is, Lord, that you will allow these words to sink into our hearts, that these truths will become truths that we understand and are aware of and live by. Lord, guide us and bless us and help us, we pray, as we just listen for a few moments to your word. Lord, hear our prayers because we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. So my daughter passed a driving test and she got a job at Leapfrog Nursery, which is up by Tesco in Kettering. And she bought herself a car and she drove off every morning to Leapfrog Nursery. Now, Leapfrog Nursery, as all these places do, had a policy that if somebody was missing from another nursery, they would send some of their staff from the one in Kettering. So Alison one day was asked to go to Daventry to work in the nursery. So she got up earlier, about half an hour earlier, and she got in the car and she drove off. And then 10 minutes later she returned, back on the drive. "What have you forgotten?" "Oh, I've not forgotten anything, Dad. Where's Daventry?" Now, it's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question. I mean, where is Daventry? There's no notice anywhere I've seen around here that says Daventry. And so she didn't know where it was. So in those days, this is early 2000s, 2001, I think, we had to get the map out and look and find out where Daventry was and find out where you have to go before you go to Daventry, if you see what I mean, because you don't just get to Daventry by aiming your car in that direction. So she got there, and I'm pleased to say she got home that night as well. So it was good. It was good news. Now, we come this morning to this passage where Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the map. I am the direction that you need." You see, Thomas doesn't know. The disciples, Thomas speaks on behalf of the disciples in this passage. The disciples don't know where Jesus is going. He's been with them all this time, 3.5 years at this point in the gospel. And he's been with them, and every time they want to see Jesus, they know where he is. He's just down the road. He's at Mary and Martha's maybe, or he's on a preaching tour. They know where Jesus is. They can find him. But Jesus says, "I'm going away. I'm going somewhere, and you're going to follow me." And the disciples look at each other and say, "Where? How? How can we follow? How can we go to the Father in heaven, as it were? How can we get there?" We need a map. And Jesus is quite honest and open with them. And he simply says to them, "I am the map. I am the way. Listen to me. Believe in me. Follow me. Trust me. I am the one who will lead you." Now, there's a danger. I've got a lovely old map. It was made by Marks and Spencers, and someone bought it for me in 1989. And it's quite a nice map, and it's a nice hard cover. It doesn't get, you know, all the others, they get ripped, don't they? But this one's a really nice map. The only trouble is, it's 35 years out of date. So roads like the A14 aren't on it. there's no zones in, you know, in all these zones that you can't go in because you've got cars that aren't allowed. None of those zones either on it. It's quite an old map. I mean, you can find where Daventry is. You just can't find out how to get there because the roads have changed. So old maps aren't good. Now, the trouble is, there are many people still in the world today who just use the Old Testament, the old map. They've still got the old map. That's the trouble with the Jews. That was the trouble with the Jews in Jesus' time. They wanted to use the old map. They wanted to get to God in the old ways. They wanted to bring their sheep into church. They wanted to cut off the heads and pour out the blood and scatter the blood over the congregation. And then they wanted to confess their sins. That's how they did it in the Old Testament. A messy business. You wouldn't be a deacon, would you? In those situations, managing all them sheep and all them knives. And the smell, 30 centigrade and all that blood. Can you imagine it? But that's how people came to God in the Old Testament. They came to the God and they sacrificed an animal, a young, year-old lamb, and they used that as a means of confessing their sins and putting their sins. And that's how it was dealt with. That's the old map. But Jesus says there's a new map. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Drink, eat my body and drink my cup. We do that at communion service. There's a new way to God. There's a new way to confess our sins. There's a new way to be renewed and have friendship with God. We are born sinful. The day you were conceived, you were facing north. You may not believe that. We call babies innocent, but they're not. They're born in sin, all of us. And somehow we need to be forgiven by Jesus and put on the road that leads to life. So don't be tempted to use old maps. However nice the covers are, however well bound they are, old maps are dangerous. And don't be tempted to use maps that other people have made up out of their head. So many other religions, they make up these maps. They make up these plans. I was watching Bill Bailey in Australia the other day when he saw these dinosaur feet. And the local tribes say these dinosaurs were actually the God who created the universe. And that's these footprints when he was here. And if you look into skies, you can see his image in the stars, apparently. And that's who they worship. Now, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the map. And no other method can give us comfort and hope. We might gain temporary comfort and temporary hope. We might have a good time. In fact, I've just driven past the Royal Charter in Rothwell. And I just thought to myself, it's quite interesting, because they've got this massive steam engine outside. And there's a few old engines on the car park too. And there they all are. And I thought it was quite interesting, because they're all bending down, looking into the steam bucket, as it were. And I thought, isn't it sad that we're all worshipping a steam engine on a Sunday morning? You know, that's what their life revolves around today. They don't revolve around anything else. Now, I've got nothing wrong with steam engines. I love steam engines. But my wife will tell you, she's not as keen as I am on steam engines. But there's a place. And they're not the centre of my life. They're not going to take up my day when I ought to be and want to be hearing and responding to God's word and meeting with other Christians. And it's so easy to have these other gods in our lives. Things that aren't big issues in their own sense, but things that simply distract us from God and take us away from the way to God. So let's not allow old maps or human maps to ever come into our lives and prevent us from following Jesus, from listening to Jesus. You know, Alison recognises, because she... Alison went to see a friend in Chester once, not long after she couldn't find Daventry. And the phone rang. These are days when you could use your mobile phone in the car. The phone rang and she says, "Dad, which junction, when do I turn left off the motorway?" I said, "Well, where are you?" "Well, I'm on the M6, of course, Dad." I said, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't know where you were. I'm on the M6 and I want to know where to turn left." I said, "Well, I'll get the map out." "Oh, hurry up, Dad, I've only got a mile to the junction. And I've got to make a decision." So I learnt the lesson that day, which is you keep a new map next to you in the lounge whenever Alison's out the house. Because you never know when you're going to get a question. But I admire her because my other kids don't ask. They just get lost. My other kids never ask me where to go. But Alison at least has got the humility to ask questions when she needs to know the answer. And let's be like Alison. Let's be honest and no, we don't always know things. Let's ask Jesus to help us and guide us. Let's ask our brothers and sisters in Bible study answers to questions. Let's share these things about. Because we need to get to these places. We need to get to heaven. We need to follow Jesus. We need to respond to him on a daily basis. We need to be walking and following and believing and trusting. He is the way, and it's so difficult to deal with this. It's like dealing with porridge, isn't it? Because sometimes they say, "What does that mean?" But it means listening to his word. It means contemplating his word. Just thinking about what he says. Just try reading some of the Psalms, especially the Psalms in the 20s and 30s. Just read one every night. Just allow the words to come in. You know, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and answered his prayer." Things like that. And promises that God has got your back. That if we call, he will answer us. He will guide us Psalm 25, he guides sinners in the way that they should go. These are promises that God made. These are promises that we stand on. These are promises we believe. I rang up BT on Friday to sort out my telephone, and most of the time I was spent on hold. Oh, can you just hold there, sir? Can you just hold there? And by the time I finished a 20-minute conversation, I got a new package, a new deal, and I was paying less money. I don't think it's particularly a new, better deal, but it's a deal that suits them, to be honest, and I pay slightly less. But, you know, sometimes you have to just trust other people to do the business while you wait. And we need to do that with God more than we do. We need to wait on the Lord and trust in him and depend on. He is the way. Now, he's also the truth. And those are the three things we're looking at this morning, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. There's no other truth in this world. The snag is people think there is. The snag is people think that Jesus isn't the only truth, that Jesus isn't the only way. We live in a world today where truth, as Isaiah said, has stumbled in the street. You don't know what's right and what's wrong. We haven't got a clue what any of the politicians are going to do when they become prime minister. We really haven't. And the sad thing is, I don't think they have either. But that's not for me to say, is it? But, you know, we need to recognise that Jesus is the truth, that God's word is correct and right. And so many people, they just keep ripping pages out of it. Oh, I can't accept that. I don't believe that. I don't accept that. You just can't do it that way. You've got to start the other way around and see it all as true until something's proved the other wrong. That's how I work. And God's word is there for us to stand on, to believe in, to trust. And if we do these things, and it's... There's no trumpets and fanfare, and there's no other way of doing it than as we started off today, promising to serve Jesus and walking and trusting that we can with his strength and his guidance and his direction. There is no other religion, there's no other person who can take us to heaven itself on the day we die other than Jesus Christ. There's no other way, there's no other solution. And there is a life beyond this life. There's a life beyond the grave. And I think we have to accept these things and believe these things and live in that way. And Jesus says also, he's the life. He's the one who gives us the life that we need. He's the one who gives us... He's not giving us nice ideas. He's not giving us a good moral code, although usually when you're a Christian, you do seek to live out his life. But, you know, the thief on the cross, he was nailed to the cross. He spent all his life being a thief and a robber. And there he is on the cross, unable to do anything at all to save himself. And Jesus offers him the life that is everlasting. He offers it to him. It's a free gift. He hands it to him, just as he hands that life to us as we trust and believe and follow in him. There are so many people in the scriptures who come to Jesus who aren't worthy of receiving his grace and mercy. The woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8, in the very act of adultery, it says. And Jesus says, you can go. You're forgiven. Jesus is so merciful and gracious to such people. Or John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria, and she too was a very interesting lady. And yet Jesus gives to her the opportunity of responding to him and being forgiven by him. Or a tax collector, I love the tax collector because I used to be involved in tax collecting. And he goes into the church and he's so ashamed of his life. When he gets into the building and he suddenly looks at himself and he suddenly realises he's not who he ought to be. He's not living the life he promised he'd live. He's not serving God in the way he wants to. And he asks God to forgive him. And Jesus says that's the man who went home forgiven. Not those good people who didn't think they needed much help that day. Jesus is the life. He offers us this life. And he gives it to us freely. And our job is to receive and to accept it. You know, my son flew to Disneyland yesterday. I asked him, I forgot he was going. I said, where are you going the weekend, Sammy? So I'm going to fly to Disneyland. Now look, the one thing I do know is this. He wasn't going to get his suitcase and hold it between his teeth and run down the road and flap his arms and fly to Disneyland. You don't fly to Disneyland that way. You don't fly anywhere that way, do you? Well, you could try, but you'd probably be locked up, actually. If you start putting your suitcase in your mouth and flapping your arms and running quite fast. You always think if you ran fast enough, you might just manage it, don't you? But you can't. The way you fly anywhere these days, you want to go fly to Cyprus or anything, you go to the airport and you sit on a plane and you do absolutely nothing. You sit there and they bring you drinks and food and goodness knows what, and you eat and you drink and you sleep. And when you open your eyes, as it were, you're there. That's how you fly. Now, how you get to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. By joining your life, like you join your life to an aircraft, like you get in an aircraft, you get in Jesus. You get into his thoughts and into his ways and into his life and into the things he says. And you get into these things and then you find yourself, without doing anything else, eventually, in heaven itself. I don't know if I told you before about that 737 airplane. It landed at an airport and then suddenly, for some reason, the engines cut out and they couldn't move it. And it was preventing any other airplane landing because it was on the runway. And they were all circling around. And there was a picture in the paper about 5 years ago. So everybody got off and they pushed it off the runway. It took them an hour to push this 737, 150 people, they managed to push it off the runway. For some reason, there was no available tractor around. They just managed it to move it from the runway off the runway. That's all they managed to do. And it made them realise, made me realise, just how impossible it is to move an aeroplane without the engines. There was no chance they could push it down the runway and take off with it, was there? There was no chance whatsoever. In fact, you'd smile if they tried to. And yet we try to get to heaven by pushing ourselves, don't we? We try and grit our teeth and behave ourselves and do the right things. And it's strange, really. It doesn't work. And people end up laughing at us and we laugh at ourselves because we fail so often. Jesus is the life. He's the only one with life. He's the only one who can give us life. And he gives it to us by following his way and believing his truth and serving him day by day by day. You know, these days, Alison doesn't ring me. And she doesn't ring me because she's got sat-nav. That's why she doesn't ring me. She punches things in and she lets the sat-nav. My son doesn't. He doesn't like sat-nav telling him what to do. But my daughter, she punches things in. And you know what? She has a few interesting arrangements sometimes. But she gets there because she trusts it. And she mostly, it does us good. And you know what? Even I've stopped using my map. And I let my wife tell me now what to do, which is not just in the house, but in the car as well now. Someone sent me a joke this week, and some man said to his wife, "What's on television tonight?" And he said, "Dust." And she smacked him. But you know, if you're going somewhere now, and I've been going to see my niece is in hospital in Oxford. I've been going every Friday. And she, when we leave Kettering, my wife calls up Google Maps. Because I know how to get to Oxford. I mean, I'd say, don't bother, I know how to get there. But she says, and she's right, if there's been an accident, if there's a problem on the road, Google Maps will tell you. And the M40, that bit of M40 from Brackley to A30, Bicester, you know what I mean, don't you? Most people just stand still on that, I think, usually. And it's dreadful. So I like to know what's going on. And Google Maps tells you what's going on. It isn't just a map. It tells you where you are, what you're going on. And I've discovered that your kids can track you where you're going now, can't they, as well? They can follow your phone, can't they? I mean, what is going on? I mean, honestly. But if your phone can do that, what can God do? That's what I ask. Because we're going to sing in a minute, "The Lord's My Shepherd." And I want to say to you, the Lord's my sat-nav. That's what I want to say to you this morning. Because he's the one who tells us. And even if we think we know, we don't know. Because sometimes you have to go the long way around to get there quicker. Is that okay? You have to go through Middleton Stoney instead of going on the M40 to get quicker to Oxford. Because the M40 has got a lot of traffic on it. And sometimes, often, when God guides us, and he always guides us if we ask him, he might not take us in the direction we think. He might not take us in the quickest direction. We might think we ought to be fast-forwarding at this bit in our lives, but God knows best. And Jesus promised in Psalm 23 to be our shepherd. The way, the truth, and the life, if you like, in Psalm, he promised to be the one who guides us and leads us on a daily basis. Why do we trust sat-nav and not Jesus? That's what I ask. Why do we put our confidence in a bit of metal and a few things that don't really matter when Jesus offers to give us guidance and direction right into the very gates of heaven itself? and provide us with all the right clothing, the right resources, and take us to God and prepare us and get us ready for the day. I've said to you before, have you been to the Parkhouse Hotel for a wedding? You go to the wedding, the Parkhouse Hotel, and you stand in the reception area. And you stand there dressed in to the nines, don't you? But there's people in the spa walking through you with bikinis and speedos on. And you're standing there stuffing your thing, dressed up, totally dressed up, and then some woman walks past in a bikini. You think, I didn't see you at the wedding. And the next thing you know, but you also know when you go to the wedding, when you go into the reception, you know she and her husband with his speedos will not be there because they're not dressed properly. You need to be dressed properly to go into a wedding. And we're the same with Jesus. When we get to heaven, Jesus will provide us with the wedding garments, the gowns, the right clothing. He will provide us with the forgiveness that we need in order to stand before God and be complete. And not out of place. That's the issue, isn't it? Not out of place. If you go somewhere, don't you always ask, if you're going somewhere, what are you going to wear? Because you don't want to be out of place. You don't want to turn up in shorts if everyone's got long trousers on, or vice versa. You want to be dressed appropriately. And the good news is that Jesus will provide us with the clothing that we can arrive in heaven ready to participate in eternity. This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And I just say to you this morning, try it. Taste and see. Trust it. Put your trust in it. Rely on him. When you turn your sat-nav on next time, ask yourself, am I trusting Jesus as much as I trust my sat-nav? And if the answer is no, get out the car and go do something about it before you even go anywhere. Because it's an important issue. So, I bring to you this morning that passage, and I suggest that we go and we do something about it if we haven't already. Amen. We're going to sing. If ever you meet Alison, don't mention the car, will you? The Lord's my shepherd, to the new tune, tail end, and we're going to stand and sing and remember that indeed he is. And so now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come and rest and remain with us and with those we love, now and for always.